Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We are going to move our conversation to what's going on in Turkey. You can all join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages, which I'll be checking, as well as you can tweet us at Mark Steiner. We are joined right now by Asla Bali, who is an assistant professor at the UCLA School of Law, who just returned from Istanbul, and Bunu Ibalovan, who is a doctoral student in psychology with a focus in consciousness and society at the University of West Georgia. And she last was in her homeland of Turkey in March and is following these developments very closely. And Bunu Ibalovan and Asla Bali, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, we watch this from afar, and I think people in America especially just don't really understand what's going on. They see protests that took place in Europe. They saw Occupy happening in America. Americans, quite frankly, I think also don't think of Turkey very often.
So,
right?
Yeah, and what they do know of Turkey is that it's a democratic Muslim majority country that borders between Europe and the Middle East, and so they're surprised to see this kind of unrest taking place in a country which isn't governed by an authoritarian regime. The problem is that the protesters have pointed out that the style of governance of the elected government has become increasingly authoritarian. So what began as a set of protests against the raising of a park to make way for a shopping mall and the general failure of this government to take environmental considerations into concern has grown into basically a referendum on this prime minister's governance style. And it really has brought out tens of thousands of people from a very diverse and, heterogeneous background, upper middle class, middle-aged people, university students, Kurdish protesters, people who have voted for this government in the past but now object to the way in which the prime minister in particular is enacting his policies. So it's a very broad-based cultural backlash against the authoritarian style that the prime minister has exhibited.
So, Bunu, were you shocked by this? I mean, it started as a protest. Initially, people saw when it first happened, and we saw those pictures in the paper of the iconic picture of these women being water hosed, pepper sprayed. But then,
I wouldn't say I was shocked. I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked. When it first started, I was excited by it, and I didn't imagine it was going to get this big. And I think the government really didn't. They didn't think this one through very clearly, because the way they responded, which may have worked 10, 15 years ago, possibly to suppress what's going on, has actually backfired on them and has brought more and more people out. Even the blackout of the media, which may have worked very effectively 20 years ago, just made people angrier and feel more frustrated and speak out more. And so, for example, the first couple of days, like my mother, who doesn't use Twitter or Facebook, she had no idea what was going on. I had to call her and update her. And then more and more, where she lives, which is very residential, very calm, a lot of older people live. And now yesterday she was calling me, showing me on FaceTime how all the cars are honking their horns. People are taking pots and pans and banging them at night. So everybody has gotten engaged. And so that part of it was a good surprise. And I think part of it is that everybody had been so scared to speak up. And as a law professor, I'm sure Asli can speak more to that. But people didn't trust the justice system anymore. So they were afraid to really say anything, a lot of people. And now they felt, okay, there are other people that think like us a lot more than we thought. And we can all speak up. So it's like everybody's shouting all together. And I think that's been really exciting and thrilling.
So what about that? I mean, we see this government. This is the government of Turkey is an elected government. People see it as a democracy, as they do America or other places. President Erdogan was his Justice and Development Party, the AKP, was brought into power in 2002. People saw it as a quote unquote moderate Islamist party. What's underlying all this then? What is, if this is such a broad-based movement, describe what's happening and why from your perspective?
First of all, I just want to echo what was just said, which is that it's really an astonishingly widespread, 60 cities across the country, demonstrations everywhere, even neighborhoods that are not being affected in Istanbul, again, car horns, being honked, people leaning out of their balconies, out of their windows, every single person on the street banging pots and pans, basically saying, I am with the protesters in Tucson and Bishopsush, whether I'm there physically or not. So it really is astonishing. I think what is driving it is a number of things. First, there have been, this is the sort of last straw in a series of major urban development projects that this government has undertaken that has totally disregarded environmental consequences and have also raised historic places, public meeting spaces, et cetera, to make way for commercial shopping mall projects and other similar commercial infrastructure, which is perceived as part of a more general kind of corrupt crony capitalist system in which the government and those that are supportive of the government are getting rich while the nation's being completely transformed in the image of a kind of neoliberal Islamist model that this particular prime minister, and I keep emphasizing prime minister because when you listen to the protests, his is the only name that's being mentioned. The president has actually taken a relatively more moderate stance, argued that the protesters should be listened to, that dissent should be taken into account, that the public should be consulted in policymaking. And the prime minister has arrogantly dismissed those kinds of calls, including from within his own party, from the president, from the deputy prime minister, Bülent Arınç, from the foreign minister, from many, many parties, even within the AKP. People are calling on this prime minister to stop the arrogant kind of style of power that he's exhibited most recently. So the protests really are a vote of confidence around him as much as anything to do with the party. There have also been a number of broader, beyond the commercial development, urban redevelopment projects that he's announced, there have also been forays into the private lives of citizens, putting limits on alcohol sales, arguing that there need to be anti-lewdness campaigns in the public transport to prevent people from engaging in public displays of affection in public transport, making repeated statements over the last 2 years that Turkish women should all seek to have 3 children, that Turkey needs to have a pro-natalist policy. I mean, all of these kinds of strange policy initiatives are really personalistically associated with this prime minister, who kind of is exhibiting, if you want, he's a kind of Putin at this point in Turkey. He's elected, there's no question about that, and he's actually quite popular and very charismatic politician that is able to marshal as much as 50% of the electoral share when he goes to the polls. But his governance style has really ticked people off. So I would say it's not specifically about Islamism or a secular Islamist divide. It's a lot broader than that now. There is a broad coalition of people who are simply fed up with the kind of dismissive, arrogant politics that he's exhibited. And I would just add one more thing, which is it's really difficult to be surprised by the nature of the protest, because the police crackdown is something that has been incrementally increasing with every protest that's occurred in the city over the last 2 years. So water cannon, tear gas, pepper spray has been increasingly common. It's just that the numbers that have come out this time to protest are much larger than in the past.
So, and Banu, I wonder what this kind of, these protests say to you in terms of any kind of movement that is being built in Turkey, and for what? I mean, Turkey is clearly divided politically over a number of issues.
And not any other country, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I'd like to add something to what Asli's saying.
Okay, please.
I'm also going to be addressing your question. I think part of it is in this conflict that's happening in the rhetoric of Erdogan and Gül, which is the prime minister and the president, is very interesting because talking about moving to the future. So there is a style of democracy, there's a style of governing that says you vote every 4 years and then you shut up, right? If you lose, you lose, and the people who win actually make all the policies. And that's basically what Erdogan's saying. I won 50% of the votes. What are you talking about? I don't have to listen to you. And he's very arrogant about it. You cannot overstate that. And he's actually wanting to take people's voices into account and that it's not just about voting. And he believes in a democracy. You should listen to everybody, which in turn, Erdogan from Morocco said, I don't know what he's talking about, almost verbatim. I don't know what he's referring to. This is about the voting booth. So in a sense, this is it's interesting that this is happening. It's an argument over what it means to be in a democratic society. So I think that's one thing that we're even having these arguments, and also about what it means to use police power. I think for a lot of people, it brought into question, so they're hosing people down with pressured water. At what point is it okay for the police to use this kind of force? If somebody is just walking, you know, peacefully protesting and they're not doing anything else, if you warn them and ask them to leave, what does that mean? you know, can you actually use violence on them? Even though the answers we assume are sort of given, I think they've been alive for people in a way that's at least politicizing in a new way, alive this young generation that hadn't been politicized, and the sort of the accepted wisdom was that the young people are very apolitical and they don't really care. So in terms of going forward, I think all these questions even being out there and the young people being politicized in a different way, not along the established party line, is going to be something very interesting. And I think Erdogan lost a lot of credibility because, especially if you hear the recent speech that his, I don't know what you'd call him, vice prime minister, he gave, that even in his party, the cracks are starting to show. And the fear was before that Erdogan actually was going to be president. And right when this first started, there was a congressman, or what you'd call it, an MP, who said, well, Erdogan's going to be the first president Americans saw because he got 50% of the vote. So part of this was that the fear was Erdogan wasn't going anywhere. Now he's going to become the president, which is a symbolic place, and he's actually going to wield more power because he's going to change the role of the president, which he's actually been also trying to do structurally as well. He's been trying to pass new laws. So I think that is probably not going to happen. This is my guess. And how the government moves from now on and what people are going to do, I can't tell. But politics is not going to happen as usual. Media lost a lot of trust from people by complying. So people have already started boycotting a lot of the pro-government businesses. And I'm hoping that, my hope is that some kind of creative conversations are going to come from this. I don't think it's going to be an overhaul of the system completely, but at least some of the trends are probably going to have to be, even if not reversed, slowed down. And that's all I have to say.
That's a great deal. Asli, you want to close out with your thoughts about where you think this may take us, what we might see in the next couple
absolutely.
Days?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think there's a real threat to Erdogan's current grip on power, the prime minister. He can wait until the next election, and the AKP, the party that he represents, will probably do well even in the next parliamentary elections. But I completely agree that he had proposed a new constitution project where he was going to propose a new constitution pretty much by fiat, because, again, he believes he can rule by decree once he's been elected democratically. And in that new constitution, he wanted to move Turkey to a new constitutional order that was much more presidential, even more concentrated executive power than we have in the U.S. system. For example, he said he feels sorry for President Obama because he can't even appoint an ambassador without having the approval of the Senate. And so he doesn't want that kind of system. He doesn't want to be hamstrung by the parliament. He's planning to introduce a new constitutional mechanism to have a very empowered presidency and then run to be that president. I think that what this protest has done is really curb the possibility that this prime minister has of his most ambitious futuristic project for his own governance, and also for the large-scale project that he's envisioned for Istanbul and for Turkey as a whole going forward. Now I think he's going to have no choice, even though he personally doesn't accept this at this point, I think he's going to have no choice but to have to consult the public. He's not going to be able to engage in the heavy-handed decree-style politics that he's become accustomed to in the last couple of years.
Asli Bali is assistant professor at UCLA School of Law, just returned from Istanbul, and Bruno Ubalu Vaughn is a doctoral student in psychology at the University of West Georgia with a focus on consciousness and society, and has been following developments very closely in her home country of Turkey. I want to thank both of you for joining us, and tomorrow or the next couple of days we'll come back to this and also have some voices actually coming from Istanbul who are in the demonstrations to join us as well. I want to thank both of you for taking part in this discussion today.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a very brief break and come back and look at that Cheerios commercial that's caused all this hullabaloo over race. We'll come right back to that. Don't go away.